Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Isn't God good? Wonderful book that we call the Bible. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful, from graven stone and written scroll, and all old flower fields of the soul, and weary seekers of the best. We come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Thank God for the Bible. Well, it's good to be at home. Good to be in this pulpit. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to be here today to preach God's word. By the way, I should tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about. In the very last book of the Bible, you shouldn't have much trouble finding that book, the Revelation, chapter number 22. As you're finding your place, I need to remind you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May I remind you, as I reminded the auditorium class, my message or lesson in the auditorium class was a prelude to this message, and this message is a prelude to the message tonight. So the moral of that story is you got to be here all three times to get it all, and you want it all from a man that's just 29 years old. Now then, we'll read Revelation 22, beginning at verse number 8, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for thy kindness, for the Lord's Day, for Worth Baptist Church, for our pastor, for our men, for our staff, for our people, for those who visit within our gates today. I pray, should there be one without Christ, that one would come to know him and trust him as personal Savior, even in this hour, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. and with thanksgiving. Amen. The Revelation chapter 22 at verse number 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Ladies and gentlemen, the person of Jesus Christ far outshines all other subjects of human history. No other person possesses his might or majesty or magnificence. Little wonder the hymn writer penned these words, Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His lips with grace o'erflow. His lips with grace o'erflow. He is at once God and man. Very God and very man, God the Son and the Son of God. Just as much God as though he had never become man, and just as much man as though he had never been God. Observe with me the fact that he reflects the glory of God. John wrote in John chapter 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here it is, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only does he reflect the glory of God, he is the image of God. So said the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, after that he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance hath obtained a more excellent name than they. He reflects the glory of God. He is the image of God, and he is co-equal with God. I give you his own word, and by the way, he's the greatest authority the world has ever known. He said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. He said in John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The great I am is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is all prevailing. He's all sufficient. He's supreme and sovereign and supernal. He's the Savior, the Sustainer, and the Satisfier of the human heart. He's the Redeemer and the Ruler of the human race. He was and is and forever shall be. Jesus Christ, the great I am, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same in his saving power. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no greater miracle in all the world than when a soul is born into the family of God. It was my privilege last Sunday to speak at the Westover Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia, where my youngest brother Doug is the pastor. We had all but closed the invitation, the very last strains, when I looked out toward the back, and there stepped out of the seat two women down to the front. One of them was a mother, and the other was the daughter. The daughter came to know Christ in a glorious way. And the mother testified. The daughter was 26 years old. She said, I want you to know that for 26 years I prayed that God would save my daughter. My friend, if you have a loved one that's unsaved, don't give up. Just keep on praying. The light will break through. He's the same in saving souls. He's the same in satisfying hearts. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. He's the same in his power to secure. Aren't you glad that we're once saved and always saved? I remember when Charles Stanley and I were growing up in school together. He was a Pentecostal at that time. I converted him to be a Baptist, by the way. So if I hadn't converted him to be a Baptist, he'd be preaching to Pentecostals today instead of a Baptist church. So we used to discuss eternal security. He didn't believe in it. But finally, with the word of God and by the Holy Spirit, I convinced Charles Stanley that once saved, always saved. For Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Father, which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Wow, what a Savior. Without him, there's no life, there's no light, and there's no living. Remember what John said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. There's no hope without him, no happiness, no heaven. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what Paul wrote to the Colossians. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord, said the psalmist. And Jesus talked about heaven as being a place that he had gone to prepare. And here's what he said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's good enough for me. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He's the master of time and eternity. He's the Lord of life and the conqueror of death. He's the keeper of our hearts and the caretaker of our souls. He saves us when we're lost. He cares for us when we're weak. He cheers us when we're sad. He lifts us up when we're fallen. The great I am walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He sailed with Noah in the Ark of Safety. He communed with Abraham on the plains of Mamre. He suffered with Joseph in the prison of Pharaoh. He spoke with Moses from the burning bush. He marched with Joshua around the walls of Jericho. He fought with Gideon against the Midianites. He wrestled with Samson against the Philistines. He gleaned with Ruth in the fields of Boaz. He counseled with Samuel in the chambers of Israel. He fought with David against the giant. He labored with Solomon in the building of the temple. He rode with Elijah in the whirlwind to heaven. He watched with Daniel in the den of lions. He strolled with the Hebrew children through the fiery furnace. He comforted Peter in the prison house of Herod. He crossed with Paul across the stormy Mediterranean Sea. He consoled John on the lonely Isle of Patmos. And ladies and gentlemen, on this fifth day of August, in the year of our Lord 2007, I'm happy to report to you that he will go with you through all the fiery trials of your life, in days of discouragement, depression, despondency, despair, deficiency, doubt, defeat, disease, darkness, and even in death. You can say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He will be with you when you cross the river, and he'll meet you on the other side. He will take you by the hand and lead you through the promised land. He will present you to his Father as one of his redeemed ones, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. He is the great I Am, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to his own words. "I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. Ye are the branches." Well, that's my introduction. Now I'm ready to settle down and start preaching. But not to worry. Sometimes my introductions are longer than my messages. Oftentimes they are better. I'll let you be the judge. The message is entitled, "The Great I Am." Three times in these verses, Jesus said, "I am." In verse 13, he said, "I am Alpha and Omega." In verse 16, he said, "I am the root and offspring of David." Also in verse 16, he said, "I am the bright and morning star." Scientists estimate that there are billions and billions, perhaps as many as 200 billion billion stars. Wow. That's a lot of stars. Undetected, unnamed, uncounted, unclassified, uncalculated. The naked eye can see 2,000 of them on any clear night. A telescopic camera can photograph 30 billion. I don't have to tell you that our Earth is in a galaxy called the Milky Way. The Milky Way is in a cluster of 19 galaxies. Besides that, there are a billion other galaxies. And in our galaxy, there are 100 million stars. Some, the astronomers tell us, well, that's 100 billion stars. The astronomers tell us that some of the stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way, are 100 million times brighter than our sun. Isn't our God an awesome God? By the way, I should tell you, he knows every star by name. I'll read in Psalm 147 at verse 4. "He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth all of them by name." Can I tell you, my friend, if God knows the name of every star, he knows your name. He knows your need. He knows your problem, your burden, your heartache. He knows what's bothering you this morning. He knows if you need to step out of your seat and come to an altar of prayer and say, "Dear God, bless your name forever." It would take a rocket traveling 25,000 miles an hour, 5 months to reach our sun. Now sit tight. It would take, I didn't write this, folks, I'm just reading it. It would take a rocket traveling the same speed, 25,000 miles an hour, 115,000 years to reach the next nearest star. Because the next nearest star from our sun is 25 million, million miles. Please don't try to figure that out. Just believe it. Listen again to what Jesus said. I am the bright and morning star. The one of the psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I am the bright and morning star. Ladies and gentlemen, this star, Jesus Christ, is infinitely, indescribably, incomparably brighter than all the stars of heaven. He is a star of the first magnitude. He is truly the bright and morning star. For centuries, the morning star has served a number of purposes. For navigation, locating ships at sea, for the telling of time, for the giving of directions, for the surveying of plots upon this planet, and even for music. But you know, God said a long time ago to Job in chapter 38 and verse 7, the morning stars sang together. Aren't you glad that science is catching up with the Bible? The primary function of the morning star is to introduce the day. All of you, no doubt, have been out in the night in the darkness, and just before dawn is the darkest hour. We have this place up in Colorado, and I'm in the habit of getting up early. I get up before the sun, the moon, the stars, and everybody else. And I walk out on the balcony there, and I look up into a darkened sky, and I say, man, this is frightening. It's dark. When is day coming? And then I focus my eyes on the morning star. And I say, I know it's not going to be dark forever. This long night is not going to last forever, because the morning star has announced a new day. And thank God, a new day is about to dawn. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star, introduces three special days. The great I Am. Number one, he introduced already the day of creation. Some say that life just came about by accident. Well, to say that life came about by accident is like saying that Webster's Unabridged Dictionary came about as a result of an explosion in a print shop. Some say once upon a time, nobody knows when, there was this little amoeba, one cell, swimming around in a pond, nobody knows where. And one day it grew legs and crawled out on the, nobody knows how. And then climbed a tree and grew a tail and came down and said, I'm your man. You know, when Moses attended the school in Egypt, and by the way, Acts 7:22 says he was versed in all the wisdom of Egypt. So he learned in the classroom of science in Egypt that once upon a time there was this huge cosmic egg floating around in space. And one day it reached a certain temperature and cracked open, and out hatched the universe. So when Moses sat down to write the book of Genesis, he wrote, in the beginning was a huge cosmic... No. He wrote, in the beginning, God! You believe those four words, you can believe it all. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What does God say? He said in Genesis 1, by the way, there's no authority higher than God, and there's no appeal beyond the scripture. He said, let us make man in our image. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, and man became and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That separates man from the lower species of animals. If you want to believe you came from a monkey, just go right ahead, grow you a tail, and hop around and squeal and squeak. But I believe I'm made in the likeness and image of God, and I've been remade in the likeness of Christ through the new birth. That brings me to my second thought. He introduced the day of salvation. In the 27th chapter of Matthew, we have the story of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. in verse 51. This is what you ought to mark this verse in your Bible. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You know what that means? I need to just remind you that the veil is what separated sinful man from a holy God. No man could go beyond that veil except the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. But when Jesus was crucified, the Bible says the veil was torn in two from top, that means it's God's work, from top to bottom, and opened the way for all of us through Jesus to go into the presence of God. This, my friends, started the new day of salvation. This is the gospel. How Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Wherefore, he is able, I like that, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The day of creation, the day of salvation, and there's a third day that the great I Am introduced, and that's the day of judgment. In his magnificent message on Mars Hill, Paul included these words: the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to tell you, the day of reckoning is coming. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Listen to what John said in the Revelation. And I saw a great white throne. The earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to ask you a very personal question. Is your name written there? On that page, pride and faith, is your name written there? I'm not asking you, is your name on the church roll? Did you know that every day hundreds of church members slide off into hell out of a church pew? Because they, depending on church membership or baptism or confirmation or authorization by some religious order, instead of depending on the new birth, Jesus said you must be born again. My friend, I appeal to you. Bright and morning star is ready to introduce a new day in your life. A day of happiness, a day of joy, a day of peace, a day of eternal glory. If you're here without the Savior, I would ask you, step over into God's eternal day and let Him give you eternal life through Jesus. The door of salvation is open, and all men, are invited to come. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's just get judgment day honesty. You must stand before Him. You'll either stand before Him condemned as a sinner to spend eternity in hell forever, or you'll stand with the attorney, the great I Am, who presents you as one of His redeemed because you've been washed in the blood. Washed, I said, in the blood. Not in the baptistry, but in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Every head bowed as we stand together. Now the invitation is already open. You don't have to wait until we pray or sing. If God has spoken to your heart, I want you to step out of your seat. Whatever He's talking to you about, you come and talk to Him. While the head's about, I want to ask you a personal question now. This is not designed to embarrass you. How many of you could say this morning unashamedly with your lifted hand, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved? Would you put your hand up real high? Put it up real high. Keep it up for just a moment. God bless you. What a marvelous sight that is. You may put them back down. If you could not lift your hand this morning, the opposite has to be true. You're lost. You're doomed. You're damned. You're destined for hell without Christ. Don't let it happen. I want you to step out of your seat if God is speaking to your heart this morning. Trust Jesus. Join the church. Just come and say, thank you, Lord, for the great I Am. Whatever the prayer is in your heart, if you have a prayer need this morning, would you put your hand up and say, preacher, pray with me. I have a prayer need. Would you put it up all over? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Why don't you take this moment to step out of your seat? Put that prayer need on the altar, whatever it might be. Jesus, speak to our hearts. Your blood has redeemed us. It's sufficient for all of our sins. Bless those who have come and those who are coming. Even now, in Jesus' name, I